Today's daf is Sota Daf Vav. We are holding on the top of Daf Vav Amud Aleph. We're right in the middle of a discussion where the Gemara was trying to figure out why it is that a woman who's had Kinui Estira but has not yet drunk the Me'amarim and then her husband dies, why she would have Chalitza but not Yibum. So the Gemara has suggested two possibilities so far that we learned yesterday. The Gemara is going to have two more possibilities today before the Mishnah, so a total of four possibilities why it is that such a woman would be subject to Chalitza but not to Yibum. And then the rest of the daf is mostly going to be focused on the topic of whether the presence of Eidim b'Medinas Hayam would prevent the Me'amarim from working. Meaning, is the fact that there's anyone on earth that knows about what she has done, would that prevent the Me'amarim from being Bodek? Is the Me'amarim only Bodek when it's the only resource that we have on this planet to be Bodeker? So that's going to, but through that discussion, or to get to that discussion, we're first going to have a mission that's going to list all of the cases where an Eishes Kohen cannot eat Truma, and where if she's married to a Kohen, she's not going to be able to eat Truma. The Gemara's going to have a Machlokas, whether we can prove from our Mishnah that having Eidim b'Medina Siyam actually prevents the Mayim from being Bodek. It's going to be a Machlokas, what happens to her if she has Zuchus Tola, if she has some sort of Zuchus that prevents the Mayim from being Bodek. So does that mean that nothing happens to her? Does she still have something negative to happen to her? It's just that she doesn't have the entire her entire process of illness and death happen right there on the spot. And I'm basically where I was going to talk about what the case is where her mincha, her carbon mincha, would be considered to be kadosh, but yet it wouldn't be able to be brought. It would have to be burnt. Where's going to be such a case where we view the kedusha of the mincha as binding, but nevertheless we're not going to be able to bring the carbon mincha? And the Gemara is going to talk at the end of the daf about whether we ever burn a mincha that was kadosh b'taus because of a concern midrabanan, that people will think that it's actually kadosh even though it's not really kadosh. So do we ever have such a case where we're going to burn a carbon mincha that was kadosh b'taus? But primarily the most of the daf is going to be focused on this issue of whether the presence of Eidim b'medina sayam is going to prevent the me'amarin from being bodek the woman. But first, again, we're finishing up the discussion of why it is that a woman who has had kino estira, her husband said, I don't want you to be with this man, and then she went and she had yichud with the guy, but before she ever had a chance to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash and drink the me'amarim, her husband died. Why is it that such a woman has chalitza and no yibum? So we're up to the third possibility, second line from the top of the page, vavam and aleph, first line, v'ikada amri amar Rav Yosef. Others say that Rav Yosef suggested hakosav karo acher she'ein ben zuga shel rishon shezeh hotzi rishon mibeso v'zeh hichnes rishon l'soch beso. The Torah says that if a man is married to a woman and he finds matzaba ervas davar, he finds that she's unfaithful, that there's a problem over there, so he's going to kosav la sefer krisos, he writes her a get, v'yatza, she leaves the house, he sends her out, v'haysa l'ish acher, and she goes to a different man. Why does he call him an ish acher? Because we're saying that he's not ben zugo shel rishon, he's an entirely different kind of person that would want to marry such a woman who is under this kind of suspicion. The first guy was doing a good thing by getting rid of the rishon mitoch beso, was removing the evil from his house. But then the second one is being machnis rishon l'soch beso. So it's not there are different kinds of people. The second guy we look at in a very negative light. So vata b'tisami nami yivumi, and now you want to force the yavam to do yibum on her? How could you even suggest such a thing? We're going to look down at anyone who takes this woman in after she was accused of or suspected of ervas davar. So now you're going to tell someone that he has to yibum with her? So Abaye says, well, if that's the case, well, then by that same logic, let's say she gets married to someone else. Okay, so we don't like that guy. He's a bad guy. Why is he marrying this woman? Fine, but his brother's not a bad guy. And so if this new husband dies and now she faces a situation of yibum, should we say not to do yibum? Because how can you force someone to take in a woman who's under such suspicion? After all, the Torah calls him an acher, this fellow who married her after she was under such suspicion. But why should his brother have to deal with it? And says Gemara, Gabe Dahai Mia B'Shem Tov Avakaima. Yeah, but at least as far as this second marriage was concerned, as far as we know, throughout this second marriage, she has been completely faithful to the second husband, and therefore we would not be considered to be to be a mean thing to do to make the yavam have to do yibum on her, because now she has sort of fixed up her reputation by showing that she is able to succeed at marriage. Rashi says, "B'shem tov avakayma, V'ikalameimar hajraba, and we could assume that she did tshuva. Ve'ein kari acher ala hanosu mitoch almanus ogerishin al misha kilkala tachtav. We're going to call someone an acher when there's no indication that she's done tshuva yet. She has just finished the first marriage where she was suspected of ervas davar. She's never been in a situation where she's been able to prove that she's reformed in any way, and then you're going to go take her in. That's going to be a terrible thing. That's someone that we're going to call an acher. But once she's already proven through the course of her second marriage that she's able to live a faithful marriage, so then it's not considered a negative thing for the yavam to take her in. And then we have the fourth explanation why it is that she would do chalitza na'ibim. Rava Amar kal v'chomer says a simple kal v'chomer. Im ne'esra b'mutarla, if her husband, who she was originally mutter to, she is now usher to because of the kinoy and stira. So someone that she was always usher to, meaning her husband's brother, who is someone that she's usher to, shalom b'makom mitzvah. So all the more so, the kinui stira should usher her to her husband's brother. Amle Abayis, Abayis says al me'ata, if that's the case, Kohen Gadol Shekidesh Salmana. If you have a Kohen Gadol that's Mekadesh and Almana, the halacha is that a Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry an Almana, but a Kohen Gadol is an Isser Lav, is not allowed to marry an Almana. So let's say you have a Kohen Gadol who's married to an Almana, B'Isser, their marriage is a sin, Umeis, and the Kohen Gadol dies, V'yeshlo Ach Kohen Hedyot, and he has a brother who's a regular Kohen, Lotus Yavim. Well, then we shouldn't allow Yibum in that case, even though we do, but the Gemara is asking, by this logic of Rava, we shouldn't allow Yibum. Because after all, im nesra b'mutala ba'asala l'kolshkein, if she has become usher to her husband, then for sure she's going to be usher to her husband's brother, who's considered asrla. So says the Gemara, we're mislabeling everything in that statement. How can you call her husband a mutala, and how can you call the brother an asrla? Ne'esra? What do you mean ne'esra? She became usher to her husband. Hasira v'kaim? Not how you call the husband's brother. Meaning, how can you call the husband a mutala? The marriage was a sin in the first place, and how can you say she has become usher to her husband? She hasn't become anything. They were always usher. Ne'esra? Ha'asira v'kaima. You're going to say she's become usher to her husband? Not true. She was always usher to her husband. She's an almana, he's a kohen gadol. That marriage was an avera meikara. Mutala. You're going to call the husband a mutala? Asulahu. You can't call the husband a mutala. He's an asula. So you can't use that same kal v'chomer, that if she even becomes asur to her husband, who she was always mutter to, then kal v'chomer, she should become asur to her husband's brother, who she was always asur to. Doesn't work by the case of Alman al-Kohen Gadol. So says Gemara, okay, what about the following case? Ela ishes kohen. What about the wife of a regular kohen, a kohen hedyot, where the halach is that a kohen hedyot is not allowed to marry a grusha, or a zona, and the definition of zona is a pretty broad definition, that even an Ashes Kohen that's Nensa, that's raped, she's not allowed to go back to her husband, the Kohen. So let's say you have an Ashes Kohen Shenensa, the Rachmana Litzlan, someone is Ma'anes her, Umeis, and then the husband dies, V'yeshlo Ach Chalal, and he has a brother who's a Chalal. Now what have we gained by making this case? Because this is a husband who originally was in fact Mutterla, and has become Asula through the onus, and he has a brother who's allowed to marry her, who has no iser of marrying a girl who's ne'ensa, because the brother's a chalal, the brother doesn't have kedushas kuna. So should we say lotus yavim, that there's not going to be yibum in this case? Because after all, ne'esra b'mutzala b'asala l'kolshkein, if she became aser to her husband who was originally mutter to her, then for sure she should become aser to her husband's brother who was always aser to her. Answers the Gemara, Ba'onas bi Yisrael Mishra Shari, V'gavi Dahai Laki Isura. That onus is not an issue at all for a Yisrael, for a Chalal who has a din of a Yisrael, onus is simply not an issue. And therefore, for the husband's brother, there is no Isra whatsoever. As Rashi explains, Ve'etzlo hu heter gomor. Regarding the brother who's a Chalal, it's heter gomor. Ve'inza kavachomer. And it's not a kavachomer at all. Aval bezinza baratzon shabal. But if you're going to talk about a case like our case of a sota, where she was mezana beratzon, where that applies equally to all men, meaning if she, it doesn't matter who she's married to, if she's mezana beratzon, it's going to ruin her marriage. As opposed to a girl who's nensa, our girl is nensa, it's only going to ruin a marriage if she's married to a kohen. The brother's not a kohen, so it's not a problem vis-a-vis the brother. But a woman is an adulteress, that's a problem vis-a-vis everybody, no matter who it is. So if she would have been married to the brother and she would have been mizana baratzon, would have asked him to him also. So then it's a valid kalvachomer because it's that first nisun, it's that first marriage that creates the zika liyibum, that creates the whole necessity for yibum. So if she did something to be mafriya, that first marriage that would have been mafriya any marriage, so then it's going to be considered an issue with the brother. So if she becomes mukulkal to the husband, of course she becomes mukulkalis to the yavim as well. So that's what the Gemara says. We don't have any parallel kalvachomers, and Rava's answer stands. Why is it that she's chaletzas v'lomis yavemis in our case? Because if the fact that she went through, that she was under suspicion and had kinoy stira, if that was enough to ask her to her husband who was otherwise mutter to her, then for sure it's going to be enough to ask her to her yavam, who anyway was always ask her to her. So Tulsa says, but wait a second, isn't there another case that we can come up with toward the end of the Tulsa Tibra Maskalatius Koin Shenensa? Tulsa says, Avliesh Latmoa, Amailo Parachacha Yisrael Shenasa Ksheira, Vinasa Patsua Daka, Vieshlo Ach Kasher. Why don't we ask about the case of a Yisrael that marries a Ksheira, then he becomes a Patsua Daka? So Patsua Daka is also Lava Bakal, so he suffers from this terrible ailment, this terrible injury of becoming a Patsua Daka. So now he's not allowed to be with her anymore. So originally the marriage was good, she was Mutala. Now he becomes a Patsua Daka, he becomes Asula. And this is something that applies across the board. Anyone who becomes a Patsua Daka, the Yisra would apply. V'yeshlo ach kosher, and he has an ach kosher, should we say, over there also not to do Yibum? And that's the Dami Lamasnisa, and that's really very comparable to our Mishnah, because that's a case where she was absolutely mutter to her husband. Some Isser was created that she's no longer mutteris to her husband, and that Isser, had it applied to the brother, had it happened to anybody who would have been married to her, the Isser would have been the same. So shouldn't we say that is the case? And Tosus leaves that unresolved. He doesn't deal with it over here. Tosus in Yevamos Pedal and Beis suggests that you can't say this Kal V'chomer the Bemutra La Nesra unless something happens to the Isha. Something happens to the woman. So there's some mice of the woman that she becomes usher to her husband with. And unless it's something that happens to the Isha, then you're not going to say that would be the answer about the case of the of the Patsua Daka. Okay, we'll leave that at there. So let's see the Mishnah now. So new Mishnah. Ve'elu asrus milachal b'truma. The following women are not allowed to eat truma. Ha'omeris tmei anilach. If the woman confesses, she says tmei anilach. Tosfos points out, ha'omeris tmei anilach ikasha b'shili misachs nedarim. Depligi Rabba v'Rav Sheshes ba'omeris tmei anilach. The Rav Sheshes omer achelz b'truma. But Rav says, eino achelz b'truma. But the point is, the Rav Sheshes says she can eat truma. So how can our Mishnah, we have a stam Mishnah right here that says that any time a woman says, I cheated, I was unfaithful, she's disqualified from eating truma, yet it's a machlokas in Maseches Nedarim whether that's enough to disqualify her from eating truma. Machlokas Amoraim in Maseches Nedarim, whether that's enough to disqualify her from eating truma. So how do we reconcile our Mishnah with the machlokas Amoraim in Maseches Nedarim, especially with Shitas Rav Sheshes, that she is allowed to eat truma? Answers Tosos Tritz, Tahachamari Achar Kino Yostira, Teraglayim Ledavar, Afil Rav Sheshes Moda, Vachim Farish Labi Yusha. When was there machlokas in Nedarim? A woman out of the blue goes to her husband and says, "Tmei anilach, I want to tell you something. You should know I was unfaithful to you." That's where we have machlokas. So she have ne'emanus to passel her from eating truma. But over here, there's already raglayim ledaver. All the arrows are pointing in the direction of an unfaithful wife. All indicators are that she in fact has been unfaithful. The husband said, "I don't want you being with that guy," and she went and she had yichud with that guy. Okay, so now we're already suspicious. And then when she says tmei anilach, then everyone would agree. All the Amoraim would agree to what it says in our Mishnah, that would in fact disqualify her from Truma. What's another case that would disqualify her from Truma? The Mishnah goes on, V'shabohu Edim Shehi Temeya. If Edim come and say that she's Temeya, Tosos over here points out, what does it mean, Edim come and say she's Temeya? Misafka L'Rebbe, Idafka Nakat Edim, does it have to be plural, that two Edim come and say that she's Temeya? Shnayim, Avel Erech Lomahem, and the Mekmini Lebe Gemara, but if it was one aid, then it wouldn't be enough to apostle from Truma, because after all, the Mukmini Lebe Gemara, the Mari La'achar Sheshasa, that where the Gemara is going to say that our Mishnah is talking about, when did the Edim come? after she already drank the Mei Amarim. Tidafka kolim shashasa min haTorah le'ed echad. It's only before drinking the Mayim that the Torah gives Ne'amanus to an Eid Echad, because the Mayim is already a proof that she was faithful, that she never did anything wrong. Look at the fact that she didn't die from the Mei Amarim. But before she drank the Mayim, then Raglayim Ledavar plus an Eid Echad is enough. We'd believe in Eid Echad. Rav Sheish is Tamer B'Gemara Sota Sheish La'edim B'Minis Yam Deina Mayim Bot Knosa Dafke Eidim Nakat. And when Rav Sheish says that if there's Eidim anywhere on earth that she's guilty, the Mayim is not going to work, maybe that's only if there's Eidim plural somewhere. V'lo Eid Echad, but a single Eid somewhere would not prevent the Mayim from working. Oh, Dilmor, maybe. Or the flip side is, no, maybe once the Torah says that once you have Kinu Yistira, even in Eid Echad is believed that she's Tameya, so what do I care if it's before she drank the water, after she drank the water? Well, Eid Echad is believed. Kinu Yistira happened, that's it. Eid Echad is believed. So that's the suffix of Tosos. Do we assume that Eid Echad is believed only if you get the Eid Echad dafka in that window after Kinu Yistira, but before she's actually shows to the Mei Amarim? Because once she shows to the Mei Amarim, Eid Echad is no longer going to be believed? Or do we assume that an Eid Echad is believed from Kinu Yistira on, that any time after Kinu Yistira, whether it's before she drinks, after she drinks, the Eid Echad is always going to be believed? Says most mistaver that we're saying even Eid Echad, that even if Eid Echad comes and tells us that she's Tameya, even if she's already drunk the Mei Amarim, that the Eid Echad is going to be believed in that case, to tell us that she's Tameya, that the Eid Echad is given full ne'amanus in that case. There is let's just finish the Mishnah. V'ha'omeres eini shosa, or if a woman says I'm not interested in drinking, v'shabayla in a rotza lashkosa, or if her husband is not interested in making her drink, v'shabayla ba'ala badarach, or if her husband was boil her on the road, so that's going to disqualify the mayim is only bodek when the husband is menuka me'avon, when the husband is also didn't do anything wrong, but there's already an issue created once you have kinu yistira. So if the husband was ba'ala b'darach, that's going to prevent the me'amarim from working. So she's hanging in limbo, so she's going to be disqualified from eating truma in the interim or forever. So the Mishnah gives many cases where a woman is not going to be allowed to eat truma. Later on in this Masechta Chavdal, we say that the same is true by the Yisr Lebaal, meaning if she's not allowed to eat truma, she's also Asur Lebaal. Let's say the husband says, I don't want to give her the Mesota, change my mind, I know I did a Kinu Yistira, not interested. Doesn't make a difference, she's Asur Lebaal. Eid Echad says Tameya, not just that she can't eat truma, she's also to be with her husband. What about the boel? What about the suspected boel? Does she become asur to the suspected boel in all of these cases as well? The Rambam in the second Berak of Hilchos Sota, in the Tur and Simin Ralph, write that when the husband is not interested in being mashka the mesota, she becomes asur le boel. Not only le baal, she becomes asur le boel. Chalkas Mechokik says that you need a raya for such a thing. No, because the Torah says if she's screaming, I'm Tahora, I want to drink, I want to be vindicated, this is my only chance of showing my innocence, let me drink the Mei Amarim. And the husband says, no, I don't want you to drink the Mei Amarim. He has the right to ask her Leboel. She's claiming that she's innocent and she has the ability to prove her innocence. So she's going to be Asur Leboel. You know, like the Gemara says about Chana, that Chana threatened, that she said that in her tefillah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she davened and she said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't want to give me a child? I'm going to trick you into giving me a child. I'm going to make my husband be mekanami, then I'm going to go and stira, then I'm going to have to drink the Me'amarim, and I'm not going to do anything wrong, I'm not going to do the Isser, and then I'm going to have to drink the Me'amarim, and then I'm going to get such a bracha. So what if she would have gone through that whole thing and her husband would say, I don't want you to drink the Mei Amarim? How could he ruin her like that? How could he ruin all? She's innocent. If she's innocent, so let her be innocent. So why is it the husband's right to be able to ask her in this case to the Boel and to take away would she lose her Ksuba also? Pasha says not. She's entitled to her Ksuba. So the Mishnah Lamelech suggests she's Asura because as soon as she's Nistura, she becomes Asura. Isura. And the she's now Bechaskas Isur. It's just that there's an out, that there's a, the Shtiyas HaMayim is a heter. It's not, I mean, it's not that we look at this woman as an innocent woman, and then, you know, the and he's preventing her innocence from being proven. No, we look at her as a guilty woman, because the Stira already puts her Bechaskas Isur. The Kino Yastira together makes her Asura. So that makes her, she's assumed to be Isur, and to be Asur. And therefore, it's the fact that there's that the Torah has granted her this ability to be vindicated through the Me'amarim, the Torah only does that in a very rare circumstance where the husband's interested in doing it and he's Menuka Me'avon and she doesn't have Zichus Tola, etc. And there have to be a lot of criteria for that to happen. But she is considered to be Asura in the interim. Okay, says the Gemara now, Amr of Amram, Hamil Sa Amrlan of Sheshas Vanalan Ainim Mimasnisin. Rav Sheshas taught us a Chiddush and we're able to see a proof to it from our Mishnah. If a sota has edim anywhere, there are edim anywhere that know about what she did, then mayim is not going to work. The waters that she drinks is not going to be bodiker. My time, oh, why not? The aid ain ba. That one of the criteria for the water to work is aid ain ba. The luck of the other ba. There has to be no one that knows about it. As opposed to a woman who has edim b'medinas hayam, where somebody knows about it, they're just not here. And we're able to prove that Rav Sheshes is correct from our Mishnah, the Katani, because the Mishnah said v'shabal edim shei tameya, that edim came and said that she's tameya. Well, wait a second. Dasu edim emas. When did these edim come and say that she's tameya? Well, we're now going to disqualify her from eating truma. If edim came before she ever drank the me'amarim, of course she's disqualified from eating truma. That's a zona. I mean, you have no greater proof than that. That she's the greatest level of proof in Judaism is shnei edim. So you have shnei edim that she was mizana. Obviously, she's not going to be able to eat truma. No, what's the case of the Mishnah? Elubasu d'shasai. She already drank the me'amarim and nothing happened. She didn't die. So we already have this this clue that she's innocent. So if you're going to say, yeah, but when they're raiding in Medina Sayyam, then the Mayim is not going to be bodek. So now it all makes sense. She's guilty. Haraya, they're raiding. They're telling us she's guilty. Nothing happens when she drank the Mayim, because even if you have Aidim that aren't present in Beis Din, that are in Medina Sayyam, it's going to prevent the Mayim from working. But if you're going to say the Mayim is Bodek, as long as we don't know about the Edom at this point, well then Tigli Mafreya Desadi Shakri Ninu. Shouldn't that tell us that these Edom are liars? Because the Mayim proved that she's innocent. So the fact that Edom are coming afterwards and saying that she's guilty, that shouldn't prove that she's guilty. It should prove that these Edom are liars, that they're Sadi Shakri. So Amalei Rav Yosef responds, no. Maybe really, even if there are Edom somewhere, the Mayim would be Bodek, and these Edom are still not considered to be liars by the fact that she's still alive, but because there are other explanations why she might be alive. There's a possibility that she has some sort of zuchus that keeps her alive. We're going to see that the zuchus of Torah or other zuchus perhaps may keep her going even though she's really guilty of this sin. That's why we're going to believe the Edom. Rav Elchanan and Kutchus Tivrisov from his bother says, why would we say that the Bedikas Samayim should work to be Machish Shnei Edom Ksherim, to be considered? The Gemara had such avmina that if there's no other way that the Mayim would be ineffective other than her innocence, that the only way the Mayim is not going to do anything if she's innocent, so that's a greater Raya than Shnei Edom, and we should say Sahadi Shakri. Now there are a lot of things in Halacha that we follow whenever we're not sure about something. There are a lot of different ways to reconcile the halacha. We have dinim of what we do about safek tumah, safek brishus yachid, brishus rabim. We have chazakos. We have rov. There are lots of different ways of reconciling halacha. Shnei edim is one way. We don't know what happened, so shnei edim come and tell us what happened. But that's not just one way. That's like the strongest way. So the me'amarim is another way of reconciling what to do when we're not sure what the status is. So it's always important whenever dealing with any way that the Torah tells us to reconcile a suffix is to clarify whether that way of reconciling the suffix is a nihug or a birur. Is it that at the end of the day we really still have no idea, but we have to behave somehow, we have to move forward somehow, so that would be a nihug. That would be the Torah telling us, look, of course you don't know, but it's a nihug. The Gemara says in the beginning of Seches Nida, you have a mikvah that last year had 40 sa, this year it has 39 sa. You don't know exactly when it went from, when it dipped under 40, but you know that you're tov a lot of kelim in between. So what's it? So you look at the chazaka of the kelim, you look at the cheskas meikar of the mikvah, chazaka the ashta of the mikvah. Good. So you can write a whole shev shmeita. Someone did about that whole case, all the chazakas. Now you play with all the chazakas. So you give a big fancy shir, and at the end of the day, someone says to you, "Okay, so when did the mikvah become chaser? Now that you know all the chazakas and all the lamdas, when did it become chaser?" The answer is, don't know. You still don't know, because all those chazakas are just a nihug. They're not mevarer what actually happened. Yet you have a case, for example, the Gemara says a person is maka aviv, so he's chayiv for hitting his father. How do you know that it's his father? Because rov bi'ilos acharabal, most bi'ilos we assume are from the husband. So I'm going to say, no, really we don't know if it's his father. But nihug, we have to be knowing. No, in that case you would assume, no, the rov tells us mevarer that it's his father. So what's the greatest mevarer? Greatest mevarer is Shnei Eidim. Shnei Eidim is not a niyuk, it's a birur. We say this tells us that we now know what happens. What about the Meisota? So Pashas Meisota is also a mevarer. And it may be an even great, it's a great chiddush, but the Rav Chanan is really alluding to, I mean, he handles this a little differently, but it could be that it's a greater birur than Shnei Eidim. Now, even within the world of mevarer, there's higher level birur and lower level birur. For example, how do I know there's a greater birur than Shnei Eidim? Shnei Eidim come to court and say, Reuven killed Shimon. And then the next day, Shimon walks into court. So that's a greater birur than Shnei Eidim. You can't kill Reuven if Shimon walks Baharug Biraglav, if Shimon walks into court the next day. So yeah, Shnei Eidim is a very high birur. But the remarkable thing is that the Gemara is suggesting is that the Meisota is a higher level of birur than Shnei Eidim, that we rely on the miracle to that extent, where we assume that it's so 100% effective. Okay, so says Gemara b'maik mifli. What exactly is this machlokas between Rabbi and Rav Sheshes? So b'mis navna de Rebbe. What they're arguing about is whether she deteriorates, like Shitas Rebbe, meaning when we say that she has a zechus tola, that's how Rav Yosef rejected Rav Sheshes. This is Malkus Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes. Rav Yosef rejected it by saying, maybe the Mayim really is bodek, but she had a zechus tola, and that's why nothing happened. So maybe Rav Sheshes would say, if she's guilty, even if she has a zechus tola, it's not that nothing would happen. It's just that everything won't happen at one time. But it's not that nothing would happen. That's the machlokas over here. Ditnan, Rebbe Yomer zechus tola b'mayim amarim, ve'inu yoledes, ve'inu mishabachas, ella misnavna v'alechas l'sov shimesa b'osamisa. What's going to happen if she's guilty, but she has a zechus of Torah, let's say? So what's going to happen is, she's not going to have the bracha of having children, she's not going to become more youthful and more, whatever all the good brachas are. Rather, she's going to start slowly deteriorating until she ultimately dies of the misa that she would have died from the me'amarim. But instead of it happening instantly, it will happen slowly over the course of time. So Rav Sheshes of Rabbein the Rebbe, Bein the Rabban, have a misnavna. Rav Sheshes says that would always happen. So if the Mayim were being bodik her, we would know about it. We would see what's happening to her, even if it's happening slowly, and we would know about it. The fact that she drank the Mayim and nothing happens to her, that would prove to us that any Eidim that come and say she's guilty are shakranim, because the Mayim is 100% that we could tell right away. Rav Yosef Savar the Rebbe, have you misnavna the Rabbanon law, have you misnavna? But Rav Yosef says, no, Rebbe holds that she would deteriorate, but the Rabbanon hold that she would not deteriorate, and we assume that nothing would happen. We wouldn't know why the Mayim is not being bodek, or we wouldn't know if it's because she's really innocent or she has some other side zuchus that's being tola that's allowing her to get through it. Masr of Simi Barashi, Rabbi Shimon Omer in zuchus tola b'mayim amarim, that Rabbi Shimon says the zuchus is not tola with the mayim amarim, meaning having a zuchus will not prevent the water from doing its job. V'imat Omer zuchus tola b'mayim amarim, matcha atas amayim b'fnei kol anash mashosos. If you're going to say that having a zuchus will prevent the mayim amarim from doing their thing, from doing its job, well then it's gonna ruin the whole concept of mayim amarim. V'atamotzi shemra ala tahoros, any woman who's tahora is gonna, they're going to be mostly shame on her. Sheshasu, because she drank the water, nothing happened. You know what everyone's going to say? They're not going to say that she's innocent. They're going to say, yeah, she was guilty, but she must have had a zuchus. That was tola. So wait a second. In our case as well, if you're going to say that, like Rav Sheshes, that having Eidim b'medinas hayam will prevent the me'amarim from working, well then the me'amarim should never work for anybody, because everyone's someone's always going to say that everyone's guilty. Oh, Mistama, there are Eidim in China. There are Eidim somewhere in Medina Siam. They know better. That's what everyone's going to say. They're still going to ruin a reputation. Atamotzi Shemra la Tahoros. You're still going to be Motzi Shemra on the Torah Sheshasu that they drank Vein Omrim. Tameos saw you, and everyone's going to talk. Everyone's going to say, yeah, she used Tameos. El Sheyesh la Eidim in Medina Siam. But they have Eidim in Medina Siam, and that's why it didn't work. So isn't this a strong kasha on that which Rav Shesha says, that having Eidim in Medina Siam prevents the mind from being bodek? Because if after all, if you have such a svara that Rabbi Shimon holds that anything that prevents the mayim from being bodek is going to ruin the mayim entirely, so then having and it doesn't matter whether it's a zechus, so or having edim b'medina siyam should ruin the mayim entirely. Says Gemara, yeah, the Rabbi Shimon comment, you're saying within shita Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Shimon midas zechus lo tali edim nami lo talim enoch nami. According to Rabbi Shimon, if a zechus is not going to be tala, edim is also not going to be tala enoch nami. We can't argue with that point. So. But that's only Lefishitas Rabbi Shimon, who holds such a svara that it's going to ruin the Me'amarim entirely if there's anything that can be tola. But we hold, the Rabbanan hold, that a zechus can be tola. So if a zechus can be tola, having Eidim in the Siyam could also be tola. So Rav Sheshes was talking within the Shita of the Rabbanan, not within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. If you look at Tosas, Matomer Zechus Tola Matcha at Asamayim, Rabbi Shimon's Shita, that if a zechus is going to be tola, then the Me'amarim is totally useless, says Frak Tosas in Tomar, the Rav Sheshes Tomer Bein the Rebbe, Bein the Rabbanan, Misnavna, wait a second, according to Rav Sheshes, she deteriorates when you're relying on a zechus being tola. Meaning if she's not really totally innocent, it's not that nothing happens to her. Something does happen. It just happens slowly. She deteriorates. Imkena hecha kai Rabbi Shimon, tam matchata, vahalo yiru dimisnavenas, veich yuchulotzi shem rala, toro sheshask shlois navnu. So what's Rabbi Shimon so worried about? Rabbi Shimon says, oh, if she drinks this water and nothing happens, everyone's just going to say it's a chus tala. No, they won't. Look closely. See what's happening to her. Is she looking healthier, or is she slowly looking worse? If she's looking slowly looking worse, so then everyone's going to know that she's really guilty, and she had zechus tola. And if she's looking healthier, then everyone should know that obviously she was innocent. So what's Rabbi Shimon so concerned about? That if she doesn't die on the spot, people are going to be motzi shem ra on her, that she must be guilty, but she has zechus tola. So it says Tosos Yesh Lomar Hanoshima Umdos Mishum Yisur Vloye Nikoli Altik Shomedes Bazara Nisnavna Yotziu Shem Ra Bol Yagadahem Shekilkalima Vloyadi Shazumis Navenes. Now what's going to happen is that it happens slowly enough that people won't notice right away. So since it happens slowly enough that people won't notice right away, it doesn't take long for rumors to start. So it could be if they would examine her a week later and see what actually happened, then in a chinami all the rumors would go away. But that's unfortunately not the way Lashon Hara works. You know, people, they see something, they react to it, they immediately tell everybody they know, and then they'll clarify the story later on. They'll figure out later on whether it's true or not. We've seen it happen 1,000 times. So that's the way these things work, and reputations are ruined and good, so they do their damage. So that's exactly what would happen. She'll be if people won't see if she's Misna Venice or not slowly, because they're not going to wait that long. Inami nivnuva b'mayim hamarim v'cheni lo tichla b'mayim hamarim el b'choli acher. Or they'll say, yeah, when she's deteriorating, they're not going to chalk that up to the mayim hamarim. They'll assume that's unrelated, or it could be unrelated, and therefore people will never be able to necessarily tell the difference. Okay, Masav Rav. The Gemara asks further about this idea that Eidim b'Medina Siam is going to be tola. So the following people, their kabur mincha is burnt. It's kadosh, so it can't just be treated like chulin, but it's going to be burnt because it can't be used as carbon either. If a woman says I'm tamei, she admits her guilt. Or edim come and say she's tamei. Does edim emes? Well, when exactly did these edim come? If the edim came before you were ever makdish the mincha, so then it should be chulin because it was never kadosh b'kli. It only has kedushas mamon, so you could be poded and bring it, make it chulin. Eid. El Lebasar de Kaddish. No, it must be that you're already Makdash Bikli Shares. And then Edom come and say, don't go forward with this carbon. She's Tamea, she's guilty. So Yam Bishlama Mayim Botkinosa, if you say that the Mayim would be Bodek a woman when there are Edom somewhere, Alma Bas Mikdash Mikravhi. So then it makes sense that the carbon is actually Kaddosh. It wasn't brought under false pretenses. It wasn't made Kaddosh under a false premise, because the process still would have worked had these Edom not come. And meaning, if you assume that Edom bin Medina Siam don't make an ounce of difference, the process still could have worked, and therefore this carbon is totally Kaddosh. V'chi Kaddosh me'ekara shapir Kaddosh. When they initially made it Kaddosh, it was properly made Kaddosh. U'mishmachim min chasin esrefes. So now that it's Kaddosh, but it no longer has a use, so it makes sense that now we're going to burn it. But if you say like Rav Sheshes, that whenever there were Edom anywhere, the whole process was never going to work to begin with. So when they were makdish this carbon mincha, it was betos, because there were Edom that exist somewhere, so the whole process never stood a chance. So it was all betos, and therefore if it was hakdish betos, it should just be chulin. We shouldn't have to burn it. No, the case is that at the time that it was Kadosh, the process was going to get underway. But then she was Mizana afterwards, and Edom came and said, told us about that she was Mizana Ba'azara. So at the original Kedusha of the Karban, it was properly made Kadosh. How does that happen? Under our noses, right there in the Azara, she's Mizana, that it happens after the fact? Says Gemara, aren't there Pirchei Kuna? We have Shomrim watching her. But who's watching the Shomrim? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says a couple of answers. Either Shazinsa mi Pirchei Kuna Atzman, that the Pirchei Kuna themselves are the ones that were Mizana with her, so no one's watching the Shomrim. Or Avashi Amar Gon Shenitzchol Nekveha, don't the Pirchei Kuna Bekipa Talila? She says, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. So she goes privately to some private area, finds a guy, and she's Mizana with the guy, because the Pirchei Kuna aren't going to, you know, they're not going to accompany her to the bathroom. They're not locking her up. They're basically keeping an eye on her. Rav Papa Leon Kedamin Meikar. Rav Papa says, no, we could even go back to the original answer, meaning that it was the original tumah that the edim are being made about, not that she was zinsa ba'azara. They're being made about a tumah that happened beforehand. We asked, but then it should be chulin because the whole thing was a ta'us me'ekara. Because after all, if there were edim anywhere in the world, the whole process never stood a chance. Midrabanan gzeira shami yom rumatzin mikli sharis lachal enachinami on a daraisa level it is chulin. The whole carbon was never kadosh, but we were treating it like it was kadosh because we didn't know about these edim. So midrabanan, the rabbanan thought it's going to look bad. We're going to take something that everyone assumed was kadosh and just say it's chulin now. So people are going to think that things can go from a kli sharis to just being chulin. That's a bad message to send. So the rabbanan made such a gzeira. So frankly, gemara vayter maser of mari nit meis minchasa ad shlo kitchu bekli harei kikol minachas v'tifta. If a woman's carbon mincha became tame before it was kadosh bekli, so you could just redeem it. Misha kitchu bekli. But once it's already Kaddush Bekli, it already has Kaddush Saguf, then it has to be burnt.
If you already makdish the komets of the carbon mincha, you took the three fingers full and you didn't get a chance to burn it on the Mizbeach, and then by the time you're ready to burn it on the Mizbeach, one of them died, either he died or she died, the carbon mincha gets burnt. Karav HaKomets, let's say you already makdish the komets, and you didn't get to eat the rest of the carbon mincha, the shirayim of the carbon mincha, before one of them died, harei kikol menachos v'tochal. So it's like any carbon mincha could be eaten. Shal asafik bas mitchila, because it was brought meikara on a safik with the assumption of a safik, kipra sveik of alchala. So now the safik is, she's had kapara for the safik by the comets being burnt on the mizbeach. So good, so now the carbon is perfectly fine, you're allowed to eat the carbon. Bo le'edim, this is the line that we're concerned with. Bo le'edim shi tamea minchas in esrefes. If Edom come that she was Tamea, her mincha gets burnt. Nimtzu Eide Zomamin, if those Edom turn out to be Zomamin, minchasa chulin, the mincha becomes chulin. Well, wait a second, this is a mincha we were treating as Kadosh, we were ready to behave toward it as if it was Kadosh, and now we're going to say, the Edom were all Edom Zomamin, so the whole thing is going to be chulin. If the Rabbanan make a gzera, that's something that you were treated as Kadosh, we could never just declare it chulin, they're always going to say it has to be treated with a certain level of Kedusha. Where were the Rabbanan over here? And Edom Zomim Kamer, Edom Zomim Kalda Islahu. Everyone's going to realize about it. Edom Zomim, everyone talks about it. It's a big hack when they're Edom Zomim. Did you hear about these guys? They were Edom Zomim. It's, I guess, a rare enough thing that you're going to find two other guys who say Manu Yisam. So everyone's going to know about it. No one's going to think that something funny is happening. They're going to realize, of course, that it was all a big mistake because of the, because everything became Edom Zomim. Tiny Kavasid Rav Sheshes Vlav Mitame. We have another Brisa that learns like Rav Sheshes this din that if they're Edom anywhere, that it's going to prevent the mayim from working, but for from a different drasha. The pasuk says tahora, we darshan v'lo sheish edim medina siyam. She has to actually be tahora, not have edim medina siyam. V'tahora v'lo shetolsa lezuchus. And an extra vav teaches us that a zuchus cannot be tola either. He v'lo sheyisu v'yitnabav muzoros b'levana. He would mean that she can't have a bad reputation that everyone is saying about her that she's probably guilty. If all the women in the beauty parlor are talking about her, so then it's a bad thing. It's the mayim is not going to work. Rabbi Shimon, who says that zuchus is not tola, but wait a second, we just darshan from a pasuk v'tahora from the extra vav that zuchus is tola. So Rabbi Shimon, he the vav lo darish, even though Rabbi Shimon say he doesn't darshan that vav v'yika yesh le'edim b'medina siyam. What about the fact that yesh le'edim b'medina siyam? Meaning Rabbi Shimon's whole problem was that if there's anything that's going to prevent the me'amarim from working, then the me'amarim will never work because it's the whole thing is a joke because everyone's always going to say that she's guilty no matter what happens. Well, even Rabbi Shimon doesn't want to accept that his chus will be tola because he doesn't want to darshan the vav. But what about the fact that we have a direct drasha that having edim b'medina siyam will be tola? We'll make it that it's not going to work. So he says lo shchicha. Now that's not a common enough occurrence that people are going to say bad things about her, that people are going to assume an innocent woman is guilty and say, oh, she probably has edim b'medina siyam. Who has edim to an iser bia? Very, very rare that would actually happen. But a zechus that she did something right in her life, that would be a much more common thing, and that's something that people would start spreading a false rumor about. Tosfos just points out that Rabbi Shimon is Dorei Shavav in a lot of other places in Shas. So when we say over here Rabbi Shimon is not Dorei Shavav, it means he's not Dorei this Vav in this way. But a Vav in general, it could very well be that he is Dorei. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up at the Mishnah of Zion tomorrow.